Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and read the first 7 verses. Perhaps it's not a book that we preach from too often, but I want to look at something tremendously important in this book today. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, for discerning wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and fairness, to give prudence to the unsuspecting, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As I said earlier, this is not a book that we approach too often from the platform. But you may remember on a number of occasions that Greg has made the comment that this is a good book, both for daily reading and daily living, because it has 31 chapters. And therefore we can comfortably read one chapter every day of the month. Now the Greek translation of the heading Proverbs is simply dark or deep saying. The Hebrew translation is from a word meaning to rule. And so as we put these two meanings together and we look at the contents of the book, we find that it gives us wise words with which to govern and to rule our lives. And I suppose if we had time to look at and to study this book, and I think this is why Greg has suggested that it's a good book to read on a daily basis, is because we have rules for living. There are many situations that most of us strike in life that are dealt with in this particular book. Now the book revolves around Solomon. And we studied Solomon quite recently, and we saw something of his character and something of the events that took place around his life. Remember, he was the king who asked for wisdom that he might rule the great people of God with justice and with fairness. And so he is the center of this book. Some of the Proverbs are written for him, and some of them are written by him. And as we look at the first 6 verses, we have in fact a summary of the content of the book. We find that the book is written for the person who will discern wisdom and discipline. It is written for the person who wishes to discern the discipline of wisdom, justice, judgment, and fairness. It is written to give prudence to the unsuspecting. In other words, to give warnings to the naive person who thinks that life really is a bed of roses. It's to provide learning to the person who is seeking to be wise. And it's to provide the man who is already becoming wise with further counsel to add to his wisdom. And it is to enable a person to understand the deeper meanings of some of the wise saying of Scripture. But we know full well that Solomon was a man who unfortunately did not take his own advice. And as we studied his life, we found that he was wise in so many areas, but when it came to his own life and his own character, that wisdom seems to be lost. In fact, in his life, he omitted to follow the first bit of advice that he gave his readers in the book of Proverbs. Remember in verse 7 he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or we could change that to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so he failed with the first piece of advice that his book of deep sayings to govern life began with. And I want this morning to look at this expression, the fear of the Lord. It occurs 14 times in this book. Therefore, of course, that makes it extremely important. In fact, verse 7 also occurs again in chapter 9 as the 10th verse, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, before we trace this through the book, and we've not time to do all of them this morning, let's have a look at what we're thinking about when we talk about the fear of the Lord. Because it's no good tracing a topic through the book without we're aware of the substance of that topic. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, biblical fear is not to stand in somebody's presence trembling all over. Biblical fear is not to be afraid of the person that you fear. Biblical fear is the acknowledgement that that person has attributes that entitle them to your respect. And so to fear the Lord is to recognize in him a character and characteristics that demand respect from us. And when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, this is exactly what we're talking about. The desire to give God the respect that is due to him. Now, I'm not allowed to get involved in religious teaching in school, although I've said before, it's surprising where you can go when you teach economics. When I learned economics first, I was told never to state anything definite. The economics is a study of tendencies. And so my economic classes tend to go into moral issues. And when they tend to go into moral issues, they somehow slip into spiritual things as well, just for a few minutes. I'd love to be able to say I got fired because I preached religion in class, but I can't afford it. So I have to be careful. But on Friday morning, my class had a project, and about 11:30, most of them had finished, and I'm not allowed to let them go till closer to 1. And so we were talking about things that were happening in the world. And we eventually got talking about the place of God in men's lives. Now, I had been fairly silent. I had been letting the discussion go by itself. And at that point, I got involved, and I said, you know, this is the secret to everything that we're talking about. Because if we don't acknowledge the existence of God, then we're accountable to nobody. And we can then do exactly what we want to do in life. And here is the center, here is the core of the problems of today. There is no fear of God. And I don't mean, as I said, a fear that makes men tremble because of the wrath of God. I mean a fear that causes men to respect God and therefore to respect what he says. And so when we're approaching this topic of the fear of the Lord, we're talking about respecting him for who he is. And so Solomon says, the fear of the Lord. Now, the word Lord here is Jehovah. So we're talking about the fear of the one who said, I am the great I am. You remember, whom shall I say has sent me? Tell them I am has sent thee. And whenever we read the word of Jehovah, we are thinking of the God who was, who is, and whoever will be. And so the Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. In other words, the beginning of wisdom is to know who this God is. To realize that he's the God of the universe, the God of creation, the sovereign God. The God in whom every attribute reaches its peak. and its fullness. And if we want to grow into wise people, and we'll talk about wisdom in a minute, we need to respect who God is. And nations are acting like foolish animals today because they have lost the fear of the Lord. They've lost respect of who God really is. Now, says Solomon, the fear of the Lord is not wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, if you want to know what wisdom really is, then you go to the book of Job. And Job says in verse 28 of chapter 28, unto man he has said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So wisdom in its fullness is to justify God and to condemn ourselves. And Job goes on in verse 42 of that same chapter, and I'm going to read it in its original poetry form. He says this, I know that thou canst all things do. No purpose of thine can be withstood. Thou askest, who is this that counsel hides and darkens all because of knowledge void? 'Tis I. I uttered things I could not know, things far too wonderful beyond my ken. Hear now, I pray thee, let me speak this once. 'Tis I who ask thee, answer me. I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee, and I abhor myself. In dust and ashes I repent. There's wisdom in all its fullness. Wisdom says, God is everything, and I am nothing. And so to begin on this path that ends with self-surrender and the acknowledgement of the fullness of God, to begin on that path, we must have respect for God. So the fear of God, the respect of Jehovah, is where the search for wisdom begins. But what then is wisdom? When we talk about somebody being wise, what do we mean? Well, the three books, Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are known in Jewish literature as the wisdom books. Wisdom occurs over almost 150 times in the Old Testament, and most of it is in those three books. So if we want to understand wisdom, then we need to read Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. The Hebrew word for wisdom is simply this: the knowledge and the ability to make right choices. The knowledge and the ability to make right choices. So what Solomon is telling us is this: if we want to make the right choices in life, then we need to respect, to reverence God. Because unless we start with respect and reverence for God, we will never know what wisdom is. And maturity is simply the number of times we're right. And not right because we are individuals are right, but because we are consistently making the right choices because we are wise in our knowledge of God. You know, I've often said, and I really wish I had my father alive today, there are many situations in life that I would love to talk over with him. He wasn't a well-educated man. He left school at 12. But in the spiritual things and in the things of life, I don't know a wiser man. And what am I saying by that? Well, somebody that you could go to with a set of circumstances who had such a spiritual assessment of things that he could look at it, pray about it, and give you a right answer. No, he's not right every time. He's a human being, and we're not right every time. But spiritual maturity comes from the ability to make right choices. And that's wisdom. And says Solomon, wisdom begins with respect, with reverence for God. They talk about wise men in the world today. They talk about philosophers who do this and philosophers who do that. They're only wise in the affairs of men. Many of those philosophers, if you face them up with the question, "What think ye of Christ?" you'd soon find that they were not wise. Because one who respects God knows the right answer to that question. And men who are wise in the world's eyes are fools in God's eyes. Because they've said in their heart, "No God." You want to be wise, then you begin with respect to God. And respect means that you listen to what God says. So when God talks about you being a sinner and talks about the need of salvation and says he's found that salvation in Christ, the wise person says, "That's where I begin. I prove my respect for God by listening to what he says." That is the beginning of wisdom. Now, as we pursue this phrase through the book of Proverbs, and I want you to be kind enough to follow through with me on the reading, because you'll learn an awful lot more from the passages of Scripture than you will from me. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Because you see, how do we get the fear of the Lord? How do we learn respect for God? Says verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So the fear of the Lord can be appreciated, can be learnt through seeking. So if we're going to sit back and say, "Whoa, I'm going to fear the Lord," I'm sorry, but you won't. Fear of the Lord comes from a mind that says, before I can respect God in all his fullness, I must learn about him. And so the wise mind is the mind that searches the scripture to gain understanding of God. We're told that clearly in the passage. James touches on this a little bit, what he says in chapter 1, I think it is, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask," and oh, this is a beautiful expression, it's a title, "let him ask the giving God." You see, wisdom must be sought. Respect of God must be learned. And it's true, of course, in human terms. The more we respect a person, the more we reverent them. The more we learn about them, the more we respect them. It's a vicious circle. It's an ongoing circle. Before we can respect God, we must learn about him. As we learn about him, we respect him more. And so the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, the respect of God is not going to come by sitting back. Wisdom is gained by seeking it, by looking at the Word of God, because that's all we've got, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, to gain the knowledge of God. And so fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, can be sought by those who will seek it. Secondly, the fear of the Lord gives a godly life. Please go to chapter 8 and verse 13. Almost like a sword drill this morning, but you need to see that these things in the Word of God for yourselves. Chapter 8 and verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So, fear of the Lord produces a godly life. You see, by nature, we're evil. The Bible tells us men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And therefore, if we come to respect God, we come to hate evil. Now, that's not to dislike the things that are going on around us. That is to hate evil. And you want to know what it is to hate evil? Look at what God says about it. So the respect of the Lord brings me into line with Him as I live my life. And so those things that are evil in His sight will be evil in my sight. Those things which He hates, I will hate. And so as I come to respect God, it develops in me a godly life. Chapter 14 and verse 26. The fear of the Lord not only produces a godly life, but it produces a peaceful life. Notice what verse 26 of 14 says. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His sons shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. You want a peaceful life? You want a life in which you have confidence in God? Then learn the fear of the Lord. Learn to respect God. Learn to give Him that place to which He is entitled. And that will bring a peaceful life. Chapter 15 and verse 16. I told you I'm going to keep you busy. The fear of the Lord gives a godly life. The fear of the Lord gives a peaceful life. But notice it gives an enriched life. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Chapter 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Here it is again. The fear of the Lord gives an enriched life. We needn't search for the treasures of this life. They will add nothing to us. We can have all the riches that it is possible to have, humanly speaking, and with them will come trouble. With them will come temptation. With them will come jealousy and envy. And so Solomon says, you know, it's better to have little coupled with the respect for God than to have great treasure and the trouble that it brings. None of us like being broke. The only thing about being broke, you see, is it proves the goodness of God. But that's it, isn't it? And you notice Christians in the past who have, where materialism wasn't so important as it is now. You look at the richness of their spiritual life and then ask them to show you their bank balance. They say, what balance? You see, what we're told in the New Testament, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And so if we live in the fear, in the respect of the Lord, earthly riches will have no great grip upon us, and we will be enriched. Better, says Solomon, to have little coupled with the fear of the Lord than to have great riches and the trouble that it brings. Chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord brings a godly life, it brings a peaceful life, it brings an enriched life, and it brings a satisfied life. Notice this, 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited by evil. chapter 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. You want a satisfied life? Here it is, found in living in the fear of the Lord. A satisfied life has no envy, it has no jealousy, it has no untoward ambition, but it rests simply in this, its respect of God. And then in chapter 10 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now I think we have to approach this verse a little circumspectly. The ambition of the Jew was to live a long life. And that was because long life was a sign of God's blessing. We were looking at the Ten Commandments last week with the young people. Honor thy father and my mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For the Christian, however, it's a short life we want, because what Paul says, to be with Christ, which is far better. Therefore, perhaps it may not be strictly correct to say to the Christian today, if you fear the Lord, you'll live a long time. Let me tell you a little story. Back in 1954, when Wendy and I were planning to go to Rhodesia, we went to a slide presentation given by somebody from the English equivalent of CMML on what was then Northern and Southern Rhodesia. We sat at one end of the seat and another young couple sat at the other end. And somebody came up to us and started talking about going to Southern Rhodesia, which of course is now Zimbabwe. And then left us and went to talk to the couple at the other end of the seat about going to Northern Rhodesia, which is now Zambia. And we sort of looked at each other and said, hey, we're going in the same direction. The only difference was I was going to use working for the government as paying my rent so I could get on with the Lord's work, and Norman and Iris Rees were going out in faith to Zambia. And so we kept in touch with them over the years. We met them, we got back to Britain on one occasion when they were there, and we were able to help them in many ways, but we one day had a letter from Norman. And it was a beautiful letter. And it was written the day before he was going into hospital for a brain tumor, for an operation. They'd only just found it, and it was very serious, and we just had this beautiful letter. The next day he died under the surgeon's knife. Now, does one look at that and say, well, he had no fear of the Lord because the Lord didn't prolong his life? I don't think we can. But I think what we draw from this is that if long life to the Jew was blessing, what we draw from this, I believe, is that living in the fear of the Lord is to have a life full of blessing. That blessing may not be to us a long life, but that blessing, to be blessed of God, is to be in tune with his heart and mind for your life. And from it comes a blessing. Now you can see as we briefly gone through these verses, and there are others in Proverbs dealing with the fear of the Lord, you can see how important it is in life to respect God. How important it is to appreciate who he is and to respond to what he says. It is to ensure a godly life. It is to ensure a peaceful life. It is to ensure an enriched life. It is to ensure a satisfied life. And it is to ensure a life full of blessing. May the Lord encourage us as we think about his character and the respect that's due to him. May he encourage us to be obedient to his word and to enjoy the blessings that fear of the Lord brings. 399. Father, for the simplicity of thy word, we thank thee. Thank thee for those parts of it that were written so long ago, that have survived the ravishes of men and the attacks of Satan, so that we can sit in this auditorium today and enjoy their teaching. Lord, we're sad when we think of Solomon, the man who had so much, because he was so simple before thee, that thou didst make him the wisest man save Christ, who ever lived. We're sad, Father, because he didn't take his own advice, and because he placed himself into snares of which he warns in this book that we have studied today. But Father, we have thy word, and today we've seen the necessity to respect thee, to reverence thee, to acknowledge who thou art. And Father, we ask that this might be found in every life, that those who are not Christ's may realize that to fear, to honor, to respect God is to respond to his claims upon the sinner. And those of us who are thine, that we might have seen the blessings that come in life as we live it day by day, by putting the respect and the reverence of God upmost in our lives. As we go from this place now, may it be accompanied by thy blessing, knowing that the God of whom we have spoken this morning is the God who takes us in his arms and bears us through life. We give thee our thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.